everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Bob Phillips, and across from me in the October Park Studios is my pal, comedian Sal D'Amelio. How are you, Sally?
Hello, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Couldn't be better, man. We got a couple of bottles of wine here. We've got a hot mic. We've got some really good subjects to discuss, and it's going to be a fun show. So
it's always a fun show, man.
Yeah.
We make it fun.
We do. We're so social, aren't we?
Very social. We're on all the outlets. Is that what it's called? Outlets? We're on all the outlets.
Well, we're social, but we're also old, because I don't think anybody's calling them outlets. Platforms, maybe, right? We're not banned. By the way, we're not banned from any major platforms, contrast to some certain politicians. We're on Twitter, at SallyD08. That's my show partner's Twitter handle. I'm at Bob the Suit. Check out saldemilio.com, bobphillipscomedy.com. And, we're all over the place. We're all over the country. We're doing shows. We're doing podcasts. It's a great life.
It's fun. It's fun. And it's fun to do this show once a week and just talk about the events in our life, the events on the internet.
The internets, the
Google
webs.
I read something interesting. Did you? I follow facts on Twitter, and it's just funny just reading these stupid facts.
Facts,
yeah,
it's just
a Twitter
facts.
Feed
okay.
called facts.
Uh-huh.
And I like this one. Did you know it takes longer to say www than it takes to say World Wide Web. Because there's more consonants or whatever, right?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was one of the facts. I read that and I went, wow, it's true, you know?
It is true.
It takes you longer to say...
Nine syllables as opposed to three.
Yeah. And after I read that, I'm like, holy shit, they're right. And we said WWW for 10 years.
Good point.
The internet started.
Look, see, this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. This is unique content. You're not going to get this everywhere, right?
Come on.
50,000 listeners. We're feeling good about that. I think, well, actually, we're over that now. I haven't done the numbers yet. Maybe 53,000, but we're growing every month. That's pretty good.
And if we get another lockdown, we're going to get more than that.
Yeah.
That's when we gained steam, was during the lockdown. You know that.
Man.
We gained a lot of listeners.
We did.
The lockdown.
And,
so that's,
and you know what?
Keep listening. That's good.
Good point, Sal. Good point. You because know? People were looking for things to do, and we're very grateful that people tuned into us. But we don't want listeners from another lockdown. We want, because we're funny and we're engaging and we're entertaining, we don't need another lockdown. Get your shots, people.
Get vaccinated.
Go on.
Get vaccinated, but continue to listen to us while you're walking, driving.
We don't care if you wear a mask. Get the jab. Get it over with.
Yep.
We can finally and forever get back to normal.
Hopefully it's sooner than later. I think we're already at herd immunity. That's my opinion in our country.
Well,
they just don't want to tell us. I think we are. They just want to get more vaccinated people. I get it.
Yeah.
I understand that. But I still think we're better off as a country with this disease than we think we are. But
we're
they
better
want,
off
they
than
want
we
us
were.
To be,
that's
they want us
for
to
sure.
be safer. So they're not going to tell us that.
Oh, okay.
Because
right.
there's a lot of people out. I mean, the stadiums are full again. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the virus is still here, but we're back to living our normal lives again. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
The country's
open,
it's still around.
But it's still serious.
Yeah.
The country's open.
What did they say? I read a statistic today that said 40% of all new COVID cases are from three states, Missouri, Florida, and Texas.
That's so crazy.
Whoops.
Man.
Now, why would that be?
Yeah.
Could it is it because they have GOP governors? I don't know.
Could be. Who knows?
They and don't. Look at me. I can't believe I'm bagging on GOPs. I've been a Republican all my life. We got to stop with this nonsense, this political crap. Get the damn jab and get it over with.
I told you. We talked about this. We need Trump and Biden to stand up on a stage. I don't know where that would be.
Yeah.
They have to be on a ship in the ocean.
Yeah.
But they need to step up, put their arms around each other like they're frat brothers and say, everybody go get vaccinated. I bet you we'd get 20% increase if that happened.
Buddy, I would absolutely agree with you on that. I'll agree with you.
What happened.
It would happen. But it will never happen.
You know, get Joe to say, come on, man. And then Trump to say, I don't know what the hell he's
Sleepy
saying.
Joe. Yeah, he's some insult.
What his slogan is, or not slogan, but his what he says a lot.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, they should get Joe Biden to say, come on, man, get the vaccine. And then they should get Trump to say, this is the greatest vaccine to ever be injected. Right? Those two things.
I love it. And people would come out in droves because they'd be like, our cult leader told us to get it. Now we're gonna get it. I love that. By the way, you just wrote a bit. If you don't do that this weekend.
Have it hosted by Oprah. The event has to be hosted by somebody.
I love it.
And there you go. Sell advertising. Matter of fact, do that. Have Biden and Trump do that, right? And then after, Bezos, Musk, and Branson all take off in three ships at the same time. For a whole, Tom Bergeron could host that.
They just take off and what? And what do they do? It's like fireworks? Three ships just flying up into the sky?
Just three big penises just flying in the air because they all want bigger penises than the other guy.
Except
have this big extravaganza and fireworks after, and
well, that would be that would truly be a slice of Americana.
Women
if we could pull that off,
just walking around with vaccine shots like they're Jello shots around.
Yeah,
the world.
And giving and any woman who wants to get the shot, she gets beads. Right, yeah. it's a New Orleans
Orleans style vaccine party with. Tom, hosted by Tom Bergeron and Oprah with Winfrey.
What do they call that? The mirror ball? Is that what the...
Yeah,
the mirror ball. Okay.
Yeah.
The mirror syringe. That's huge, what they win.
You know, U2 headlines it at the end. And
U2 hasn't had a hit in 20 years, but okay. I'm with you on that.
We're solving all issues here on the Sam
O'Brien Show. Yeah, we are. And we're insulting fans of YouTube everywhere. I'm sorry about that.
I don't know. Who would you pick? Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. Somebody called you up and said, Bob, I need people to come to a field like Woodstock. And let's just say it's a field like Woodstock.
Okay.
And you get to hire any band in the world.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And any band in the world will say yes to you. Who are you?
Wait,
bringing?
You mean to promote the vaccinations?
No. Oh, you have an open field and you can have any band come there.
Any band in the world.
And but you need the right band to sell millions of tickets for you in this field. Okay,
yeah.
It's an imaginary field.
Yeah,
it's like the field of dreams.
Okay,
right?
Well, I'm gonna.
What band are you bringing that you want to bring as many people
a
together?
A band, not an individual performer.
I guess it can be individual too.
Okay, I'm going to give you three.
Okay,
I'm going to give you four.
And it can be they don't have to be in existence now. They don't have to be together now.
These four are all in existence.
Okay,
and this is how. No, five. This is how you fill. I don't care. 5,000 seats. 500,000, 5 million seats.
Okay.
This is the top five.
Okay.
Okay. Elton John.
I like it.
The Eagles.
Okay.
They have the second best selling album of all time, right?
True.
Eagles greatest hits. Elton John, the Eagles. Paul McCartney.
Yep. I'm with you there.
Billy Joel.
I'm with you there.
All right. Now, the masters of filling up Central Park, Simon and Garfunkel.
Okay. Now, why Central Park? Why did you say Central Park?
Well, you remember the concert in Central Park
in
the 80s. It was just impromptu, and boom, they just sold it out, and it was completely out of nowhere, and they made an album out of it. I think those five performers, I guess I'm just realizing now, there's not a lot of ethnic representation there.
Oh, but that's all I was going to suggest.
It's not a slight. I'm just saying record sales and popularity.
You would get a lot of people. There's wrong with your five.
Yeah.
I would probably
Beyonce in there. Then you're good.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. I would go, here's mine. I like your Elton John. I would throw him in mine.
Okay.
I want Elton John there.
All right.
I want Paul McCartney there.
All right.
I've got your two.
Mm-hmm.
But now I would want... Believe it or not, I know, but I'm talking about bringing people and selling tickets. If he was alive, I would bring Michael Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Start with Michael Jackson if he's alive. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
I would bring Michael Jackson, and I would bring Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good point.
And then my last one, believe it or not, because you got to get the rap lovers there,
uh-huh.
I would bring Eminem.
Okay, that's perfect. That's a great lineup.
There's my five.
That's better than my lineup. You're gonna. I mean, the addition of Springsteen and Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson. And
I probably shouldn't include dead artists because that's not fair. But I said.
That's fine.
But if you were putting together a whole festival of concerts for a weekend, both of our fives aren't bad. You're gonna sell some tickets either way. Well, anyway, that's my five. Now, granted. Alternates, you know, for me, an alternate would be, again, if like Michael Jackson couldn't make it, I'd go with a Smokey Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I would go with.
Do a little Motown thing?
Do a little Motown. Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. Stevie Wonder. Him. Yeah, yeah. Jeez, there you go. Come on. Well, he's been out of the news for a long time, but he's amazing. Yeah.
It's a tough top five.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you had to pick.
Katy Perry right now would sell tickets.
Yeah, there's, what do you got? I mean.
So, I don't know. You got a lot
options. Probably 20 artists at any given point
in
time.
And then how many bands do we not even know now that are selling out theaters or stadiums and we don't even know who they are? Like, there's pop stars now that we don't even know.
Well, true.
I mean, Ariana Grande is big.
Uh-huh. It's not our age group. It's not my thing.
But she would bring a million people.
How about this one? We have this band from Frankenmuth, Michigan, Greta Van Fleet. They sound like the Zeppelin, don't they? They could be a Zeppelin cover band.
Yeah.
Just like this. In fact, I'm telling Max, my youngest son, the other day. I said, you got to hear Greta Van Fleet. They sound just like the Zeppelin. He said, the who? I said, no, the Zeppelin. Pay attention. I'm doing material on you people.
Did you see, I don't know the whole gist about it, but did you see that they are, that band, Greta Van Fleet, is spawning TikTok videos of people that are trying to imitate them or something like
them
that?
Them or something about that. Zeppelin, yeah, okay.
No, Greta Van Fleet. They're not mocking, but they're imitating their performance on SNL because that was a big performance.
Wait a minute, when was that? Was that recently?
Their SNL performance?
Yeah.
Oh, it was like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And the two artists that I heard in the last 10 years that catapulted them into huge sales were Greta Van Fleet from SNL performance.
Right.
And the other huge one was Adele. After Adele did SNL, she skyrocketed.
Yeah, she did.
SNL it's kind of funny. SNL's been bigger for musical artists than it is for their character.
Yeah,
actors.
good point. Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of musical acts have gone into the stratosphere.
Huge albums after they're on SNL.
Sound like Marv Albert. Went into the stratosphere, though.
Stratosphere. Yeah, not Marv Albert.
A terrible
here.
Marv Albert impression.
Are you watching the Olympics? I know we're going all over the place.
I am, and I watched the worst thing ever today.
One episode.
No, I just happened along this today. An episode.
Like it's a series on Netflix. Yeah. I haven't watched one episode of that Olympics.
Yeah,
Bob.
Season 3 of the Olympics. You know what? I just turned it on today and I was flipping through channels and I came across it. I'm not kidding you. This is half court women's basketball. Okay.
Seriously?
So,
it's half court,
which is the answer to the question, what's more boring than full court women's basketball?
It's seriously half court?
Yes, half court. It was China against the U.S. And this was the sloppiest.
What, do they got Polish and Mexico on the other end at the same time?
They might have. I don't know. But it was the worst thing I ever watched. It was like, honest to God, Sal, it was like watching junior high schoolers. Like, come on. I know this is going to sound misogynistic, but I mean, I'm not going to watch the WNBA, which is the elite women's basketball league
WNBA
in the world.
Is fun to watch.
Yeah, and
it
I'm not going to watch that. I don't want to watch a bunch of... This was the... It was so... They couldn't make a shot, you know? Layups after layups. Missed them all. It was just...
Well, I played half-court basketball a lot because you don't want to... Because, you know, the other half of the court's being used. So they would, you know, like when I was at the Y or whatever.
Right. So the layup is the shot.
If you got a rebound, you had to take it back to the line. Is that what they do? They ran back to the line and then ran.
Or they throw it back to the line.
They throw it back to the line, then you can start your offense kind of thing. I don't know. What's the deal with half court? Why not make it full court? I don't understand.
I think the reason they did that is because the idea was to get more offense and to make it more exciting.
Well, that's true.
So, but you know what? that you have to watch this. The play under the
Why
net
don't they
is
do
so bad.
Half field soccer then, if they want to.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll appeal to Americans after that. Half, you know, what do they call it? A pitch? Half pitch soccer.
I don't know. If you did that, people would go nuts because soccer is.
Well, they had arena soccer.
Yeah, arena
right?
soccer is
big. You can bounce it off the walls, right?
So what sports are going on right now?
Swimming. We're doing really well in swimming. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm not there's no personalities. I don't know any of these people.
Yeah.
I know a couple of the gymnasts.
Nobody watching.
Yeah, and there's nobody in the stands, which, you know, women's basketball understands. There's nobody in the stands.
And now, is it? Again, I have literally not watched a second of the Olympics yet. I've been pretty busy.
I watched skateboarding today, Sal.
Skateboarding?
I watched women's skateboarding.
Don't
okay?
tell me Monster was a
You know
advertiser.
What? I don't know. They might have been. I didn't pay attention.
Red
but
Bull.
There was...
either Red Bull or Monster. Although the Olympics, I don't know. Maybe they can't... Maybe it's a
good
Japanese
point.
I guess
I don't really pay attention. I know that they have... Yeah, they have to have sponsors because
right.
Bulova was a sponsor for skiing forever. Bulova Timekeeping, right?
That's right.
I don't know. I didn't notice. But they had skateboarding on today, and everybody was falling. It was just the worst thing I've ever...
Falling.
I'm not kidding you. And I'm calling my son, Max, because he's a really good skateboarder. And he films skateboarding, and he charges for this, you know, and he puts it on YouTube, and he makes videos.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I'm asking, what's going on with these? He goes, I don't know. This is just the worst field ever. They just, and I don't know a lot about skateboarding, but I saw five people in a row fall down and miss whatever it is they're supposed to do. I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
Our skateboarding team spent too much time during lockdown in their apartments. They weren't skateboarding enough.
Well, I don't know. I mean, outdoor activities were scorned for a while.
A sport,
but huh?
Jesus, I don't even know. I don't even know Summer Olympics. I know basketball, so none of the gymnastics.
And we lost to France the other day. Yeah, women's gymnastics is
lost
going on.
Lost to France? How the hell do you lose to France in basketball?
I don't know. And it wasn't really close. It wasn't a buzzer beater.
They lost two games by like seven already.
Did they? Okay.
Basketball's lost two games.
Well, they're going to have a hard time getting into a medal round.
They have NBA players on the team?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't even
Durant
know
was
team.
On there.
Durant's
I remember
on
reading
there?
His stats going, how do you lose to France, dude?
I got to start following it. I know they just, I saw the opening, I heard the opening ceremonies were on Sunday. That's when they light the torch and the games start. I always like watching that.
How'd you like to be Japan? You won these games probably 12 years ago.
Yeah,
because you have to put in a
long
bid.
Time ago, you're right.
And you built up your city. You put billions into
money,
stadiums
man.
And exhibition areas.
Well, it was supposed to be last year.
Uh-huh, and they couldn't do it then. And it's not much better now.
No, and almost like they had to do them this year, they said, because they can't do them in 2022 because then you're 2 years away from the next one. So they had to do them now.
They're right. They had to do it.
So they
and
had
so,
to do it now.
They're relying on all advertising. There's no people in the stands.
Yeah.
It's kind of I'm watching these events going, this is depressing. But boxing is coming up, and that's my favorite summer Olympic sport.
So that starts pretty soon?
Yeah. The American team is good. I'm not going to say great, but some of the boxers are, you know, there's going to be a couple gold medals in there. And you've got everywhere. I don't know if they don't. I don't think they go down to featherweight. I think it's lightweight to heavyweight, something like that.
Well, I tell you what, our boxing team better be good because they're boxing on Delta flights now every other day.
God,
are you hearing
they?
This? They're fighting on planes now.
What's wrong with us?
I mean, when's your son's next fight? He should just take a flight to Florida
and he'll have a fight
in 2 minutes.
Ben, I don't know what airline he came back on today. But I'm going to say this. I pity the person who picks a fight with Ben on an airplane or anywhere for that matter. Regular listeners know that my son Ben is a really good MMA fighter.
Yeah.
And well, it's Muay Thai right now. He's fought both. Now, he had his latest fight in Nashville just a couple of nights ago. It didn't go his way, but I think it should have.
Yeah, he got robbed. He got robbed, man.
The way
you described the fight, he won the third round.
He did. He did, and I'm not sure. It was a hometown decision. The guy was from Nashville.
Yeah.
That happens. Ben fought his guts out as usual. He got his nose broken, which bummed me out. You never, I mean, Ben is 33, but you never want to see your child get hurt. So anyway.
Anyway, the Olympic fighters, they got to watch it.
Yeah.
Because you can get in a fight on a plane now. Anyway, that's,
you know, and we were sort of doing a pre-show discussion here. And you know my feelings about Trump. And everyone who listens to this show knows I despise him.
Yep.
And I honestly think this kind of thing is happening because of, not necessarily because of him, but because he sort of gave permission for Americans to act this way.
You're right. I'll give you that.
Such a bore and so crude.
I think he did a lot of good things for this country. I know it sounds crazy. His policies worked, but his
I'll even go with you on that.
Yeah, the way he talked to the country could definitely spawn fighters on planes.
Yeah, it gave people permission to be assholes.
And for whatever reason, it's happening now. It's happening in road rage incidents. It happened in Detroit. Somebody got shot for just flipping somebody off because they cut somebody off on 96 or whatever and expressways. So road rage is happening. Fights on planes. We are a country on edge, man.
We are a country on edge. And you know what? Back in the 60s, Nikita Khrushchev famously said to Kennedy, he was addressing it to him. He didn't say it face to face. Or maybe he did. I don't know. But he said, "We're going to bury you without firing a shot." And
who said that?
He said that, yes.
Who was that again?
Nikita Khrushchev. Okay. He was the Putin of his time. And he actually made that statement saying, you know, because we're not going to have to do that. We're going to do it through backdoor means. We're going to do it through propaganda. We're going to do it through upsetting your country with all this interference.
Correct.
And it's happening. It's been happening.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of prophetic. I thought that thinking went by the wayside years ago, but it's popped back up again. Hmm. So I don't think we're going to be buried by the Russians.
I mean, the last thing
we're going to come to our senses
is go to Kroger one day and go in the produce section and get in a fight with a guy over the grapefruit I'm grabbing. I mean, can you imagine that? Wouldn't you walk out of there going,
grapefruit?
What the
heck? I mean, citrus, maybe a banana.
Okay, let's say I brought in a bag of coins to go to the Coinstar machine and some asshole thinks he had it first or something, and I've got my pennies in there. And next thing you know, I'm fighting a guy over a Coinstar machine. I mean, that could happen.
Well,
I mean, is that insane?
It's not insane.
Excuse
because
me,
they're
sir,
doing it
that
on
was
planes.
My Coinstar machine. What?
No, I'm with you, man, because the most innocuous situations have become powder kegs because the way half the country has been set against the other half.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, there is one man responsible for most of that, and it's Cheeto McFuckface.
Yeah. Now, here's a perfect example. So now we just described how our country is on edge, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're fighting on the expressway. We're fighting on planes. We're fighting over Coinstar. Okay. Now
you are.
What does Little Caesars Arena do? They put a bar underneath the basket. Did you hear about this?
No. What?
You know? Yeah. You didn't see the story?
No. They
put
a bar.
Little Caesars Arena. Okay. Uh-huh. You know Little Caesars Arena.
Uh-huh.
You know where the baskets are?
Yeah.
Okay. On the other side of the basket, there's no more first five rolls. It's a bar.
Really?
They have a bar, like a bar.
You can stand there and drink behind the backboard.
Behind the backboard.
Oh.
And my tweet was, this isn't good.
What could happen?
This is just going to, there's going to be a brawl during free throws now.
Of course.
That's just, that's the disaster waiting to happen.
That is,
you can look it up. Little Caesar.
Whose idea was that?
They're going to throw. So they're not going to have first.
Okay, so how big is the bar? Like 20 people? Is it?
The bar is pretty big. It's like the size of, you know, like 30 seats around a bar with a bartender. Seats around it.
That's nuts.
Right under the basket. Right under the basket.
All right, that's crazy. You know what we need, Sal?
What do we need?
We need to take a page from Amsterdam's playbook, okay?
Okay.
Because there are a couple of sisters in Amsterdam, the oldest sex workers who have serviced, according to them, more than 335,000 men.
335,000?
Yes, in their career. Twin sisters Louise and Martine Faucon.
Louise, that's my mom's name.
Okay. Were there any more aptly named sisters in history than the Faucon sisters? I'm not kidding. Faucken.
Holy shit. Oldest sex workers. They have more than a century of experience.
The Faucon sisters.
Servicing more than 335,000 men over the years. They make Will Chamberlain look like a toddler.
So that's 160-something thousand men apiece. Good Lord.
Amsterdam. Now, I don't have a calculator, but if you divide that by 30 years, divide that by 12 months, divide that by 4 weeks, divide that by, are they doing like 8 tricks a night?
I don't know. Is that what the numbers work out to?
Amsterdam is known for its infamous red light district. They're in the red light district, all right, where you can get pretty much any of your wildest desires taken care of. And while the sex workers there often have multiple customers a day, no one has been doing it longer than the district's oldest team.
I love that.
What are they, the Globetrotters? Here's the young red light district guys. Go down to the end. You got the Golden Girls on the end. Twin sisters Louise and Martine Faucon, Faucken.
Wow.
Have more than, isn't that weird how that happens? Like Anthony Weiner, yeah. And, you know, all that shit.
And the Faucon sisters.
The Faucon, really, seriously. It couldn't have been, you know, if their names would have been the Christian sisters, it would have been horrible.
Yeah. Well, that would have been funny too.
They were given the title of the district's oldest window girls back in 2012.
Wow.
Before their retirement, they retired. The siblings have even had a documentary made about them called Meet the Faucons.
Okay.
As well as a book
funny.
About their incredible lives.
Oh my God. Can I say this? We're looking at the page here. This is the Daily Star, and I love this paper. It's out of the UK. All these great stories, you know, because the England, you know, the UK, they've been doing this stuff forever.
Yeah,
and they don't care. You know, people cringe about the National Enquirer here in the United States. Anyway, so another headline on this same page about the Faucon sisters, which I think is apropos. The world's largest slip and slide festival opens. Okay, I thought one of the Faucon sisters held that record, the world's largest slip and slide. But apparently this is a whole nother event.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. One of the ladies, Louise, she was speaking to The Guardian, which is not the manager of the Cleveland Indians, by the way.
Oh, God. That's another. We got to talk about that.
Louise explained how she got into the sex industry. This is sad. I do not. I'm not happy about this next line, so I'm just telling you. But she said, I was beaten onto the streets by my husband in my early 20s. So that's not good. That's not a reason to
So her husband becomes her pimp, right? Some shithead.
He told me unless I earned money for him, he would leave me. And I had children and loved them, so I had to do it. Meanwhile, Martine was giving birth to her first child when she was told her twin sister was working in the famous windows. She didn't realize Louise was struggling for money, so she offered to help. Louise added, later on, they needed a cleaner in the brothel, and Martine took the job, and the men asked her for business.
So
we started doing threesomes, and that was how we ended up working in the same house together.
Wait, the sisters are doing threesomes? Shit. Okay, well, the family that plays together.
Jesus. The sisters said it was much easier bringing in the sex industry together because they could keep each other safe. That's true. Martin spoke of one experience to the BBC when she told a client to take off his clothes and suspected something was up. It wasn't until she felt under the pillow that she discovered he had hidden a massive knife.
Wow.
Talking about how they kept their clients' interest, Martine said she decided to specialize in bondage for older men and targeted those who have a penchant for pain with pleasure. We know the tricks.
Okay.
We know what they want. We know how to talk to them, and we know how to make them laugh, too, she told the BBC. The duo say they don't have many regrets in their life and have fond memories of their career in the sex industry. They are both now retired, with Louise throwing in the towel first due to arthritis.
Wait. Time out.
I'm just reading this. I'm not being.
She quit the business because of arthritis?
That hit everybody. Right. Martine then followed not long after. Louise told The Guardian that the industry hasn't become better as time has rolled on, though. The whole family used to live off of their earnings, and now the tax office comes up with crazy amounts you have to pay. It is better for the pimps and the foreigners, but not the Dutch girls. The vultures came in 2000, organized criminals. Okay, she says it's not the same industry anymore.
All right.
But they're both retired. They're both safe.
And more dangerous.
They don't.
So they hung up
diseases.
Their vaginas is what you're saying.
Wow. They did it for a long time. They deserve...
They're the Cal Ripken sex workers.
They deserve to drink mimosas on the beach.
Yeah,
for
they
rest
do.
Of their
yes,
lives.
They do. You know what? I mean, the government should step in and give them double pensions and go, look, you probably warded off a lot of violence by keeping guys sexually satisfied.
I truly believe they saved. Saved, where are they at? Germany. They saved Germany.
Who knows?
I mean, they saved crime. You know, they kept
they cut
they
down
kept
on crime.
Guys,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be.
God
know,
bless them. Hey, you know what? Anybody, have you done any? Okay, so what did we figure out? In order to get to those numbers, you have to do, each one of them had to do 165,000 men. Have you done anything in your life, any activity whatsoever, 165,000 times?
I mean,
there's the obvious with guys, right? But no, there's not.
Show. You know, like we talk about, it's the oldest profession in the world, they say. So these girls did it right. And they did.
They sure did.
And
good for them.
Safe.
Let's give them a gold watch.
Have you ever thought about, we already talked about this earlier. As you know, Jeff Bezos and Branson, and I'm sure Elon Musk have made these space flights. Are very popular now. You're going to be able to go up as a patron for $250,000. You get 10 minutes up there, which I didn't know was that. I thought it was like a weekend or something, you know. I thought they put you up at the, you know, Mars Holiday Inn up there for 3 days. I mean,
yeah, the Mars Holiday
Inn. I didn't know it was 10 minutes.
I didn't either.
That's not what we came to talk about. I came to talk to you about a time traveler. Bizarrely claims he's stuck in 2027 and warns of human extinction. Did you hear about this? A man claims to be in 2027. There's a guy out there making YouTube videos.
Right, I read that.
Warning people that human extinction is a few years away as he shows abandoned cars and buildings. Javier goes by Uni Caso Breviente, which means only survivor. On the platform has posted numerous videos since the day before Valentine's Day of this year showing a barren Valencia, Spain town. Although people aren't seen in the video, things like Wi-Fi and electricity seem to be running smoothly for him to make countless uploads. I just woke up in a hospital and I don't know what might have happened. Today is February 13th, 2027. I am alone in the city. So this guy's trying to claim that there's nobody left on Earth. But get this, the video has over 11 million views.
That's
so
nuts.
There we go.
Okay.
You know?
So it's another scam.
So
and he was trying, I remember some of the pictures that he was showing. There was a woman that he had shown from something like 1950 or 1960 pictures that he had taken.
Yeah.
And but she had a Fitbit on her wrist. So people are calling bullshit.
Yeah. It's look. People are going to do stuff on the internet. There's enough, but he got 11 million, you know.
Now, how is he going to monetize that? That's what it's all about, right? I mean, you got 11 million viewers. And you got
advertising.
Yeah, and you got to strike while the iron's hot. Yep. So how are you going to monetize that moment in time? I don't know what it is, but he's making some money, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just by saying that the world has ended in 2027. Why did this guy pick like 2037? He went 5 years in advance. I mean, that's nothing.
I don't know. Maybe because everything, the time compression has shortened around here in these parts. everything, the news cycle, it used to be 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
And then a story would break and it would get legs and then it would go on for who knows, months. But now, whatever the latest outrage is, whatever the latest controversy is, lasts about 60 seconds and they're on to the next thing.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? They, if you went on, you put one of your videos, your comedy videos online and just say, I'm working a comedy club in the future. This is 2020. I'm doing my set.
Yeah, right.
In 2020. You'd get more views than if you just say, this is my joke.
Exactly.
About, you know, about.
And some dummies would believe it, and most people would go, this is bullshit, but it would generate heat. Yeah. Is that your point?
Yeah. Generate heat just by you saying that. Anyway, yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, we're going to keep telling jokes, Sal. That's what we're going to do. What do you got coming up? Tell me about what's on your calendar.
Well, I'm going to be at One Night Stands here coming up in August.
Great club.
I'm actually going out to... I'm going out to Junior's Comedy Club out in Erie, Pennsylvania this Saturday.
All right.
So I'm going to go out there and...
How many shows there?
There's two shows on Saturday.
All right.
So I'm going out
there. Really? It's just a Saturday club?
Well, no. It's a weekend club. I'm just going on Saturday.
Okay.
So all right. Just going out there. I was supposed to be... There's some scheduling conflicts. So if you're on my website, I was supposed to be at Funny Stop. I'm going to be going back there in the fall.
Cuyahoga
will not
Falls.
Be there August 5th through the 7th. I apologize if anybody
what?
Was coming out.
It's a better to time to do it in the fall.
So I think I'm just going to go to the open mic in Ferndale and do one of my 90. Now, we talked about that last week.
This is the one with 187.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
There is almost as many comedians on this show as there are dudes that these twins from Amsterdam banged. Right? 335,000 yeah. people doing... 1 nanosecond a piece, I think, is what that show is.
I bring that up, and we don't need to beat a dead horse. We made fun of that last week. We don't mean I actually met one of the comedians that's literally did that show,
and I know some of the other comedians
on that show. Don't get me wrong, we were not making. I would go out there and do a set there, but I'm not staying for all 80 comics.
Who's going to do that?
Anybody else? That's all we were saying. We weren't making fun of it, but I did want to bring this up to you. I did a club, Rob Haney. I'd like to mention Rob Haney on the air here. Rob Haney is a very funny comedian. He owned Wiley's Comedy Club for many, many years in Dayton,
Wiley's.
Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring this up, and I hope he's listening to this, I will send this to him. I was at his club, and I want to get your take on this. I was at his club, it's got to be 8 years ago now, maybe 9 years ago. I was closing. And there was maybe 30 people in the crowd. It was the second show Friday.
Yeah.
Great club. It's busy, but just this particular, I don't want to knock
right.
his club. It was just this second show Friday. Everybody in the industry knows you get 30 people sometimes. And I'm doing my stuff and I'm having a good set. And I get a note sent up to me during the show.
From an audience member or from management?
From a staff.
Okay.
And the note said, Dave Chappelle stopped by. And I was like I read that. Like, I was like, I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I really did. But then I thought, wait a minute, it's Dayton. It probably is him. And I heard he does that.
Uh-huh.
And Rob is a really cool guy. He didn't say, like, cut your time or nothing like that. He just wanted me to be aware of it.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, you know, that's cool. You know, and they just wanted me to make aware of it that the show's not going to end when you're done. So don't dismount like you're like the show's
yeah,
over.
Yeah, right. Good right? night, everybody.
Yeah. So I finished up my set. And I actually finished a little early because I thought, you know what? I don't want to keep the master waiting.
Did you have to introduce Chappelle?
No. So I close the show. I said good night. And the MC goes up. And now people are starting to kind of get up, you know. And the MC said, hey, wait a minute. We got a special guest that stopped by, wants to do some time. And it's almost like the crowd knows it because he's done that before.
Yeah, okay.
And he went up and did 45 minutes and killed.
After the headliner.
It was a treat for me. Don't get me wrong.
I love Chappelle.
Are you kidding me? He said nice things about me.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Give it up for the guy that you just saw.
Well, you didn't get your time cut short because of him. You were just told he's coming up.
Yeah. Is what do you think about those kinds of things?
Oh, yes. We were talking about that. Comedy etiquette. Industry etiquette. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, now that's something that's situational. After the show. Maybe there's sometimes where they come during the show.
Yeah.
Now, New York, it happens all the time. I mean, sure. Are you kidding me?
In L.A.
In yeah. L.A. I mean, hey, Sebastian Maniscalco stopped by. You know, he's going to go up. Okay. Yeah. And then who's ever got to follow that guy, good luck.
Yeah, good luck, dude. You're just,
but the thing is, it's not like they're doing 45 minutes. If Bill Burr stops by to do time at the Comedy Store, it's 10 minutes.
It's at the most, yeah. Hey, so 7, you're, 10,
you're,
sure.
You don't have to follow like his whole performance. You're just following him doing a new joke.
It's a good point.
So
that's
it's
a good
little
point.
Different, but what's your take on that?
Well, you know what? I think it's situational, as I brought up earlier. I think that the one you're talking about where you were headlining and then they slipped you a note and said, hey, Chappelle is here. They're just kind of telling you, hey, you know, wrap it up. We got a guy who's, you know, big star is going to be doing some time. And they didn't tell you to cut it short. They didn't take anything away from you. That's very cool. That is a good club. And so that audience got you, an awesome comedian. And then they got Chappelle, another awesome comedian. So it's a win-win for everybody. I don't have any issue with that. One of the things we were talking about earlier was that when you're headlining at a club and there is a special guest in town who wants to come do a guest set, that's fine. I mean, hey, look, I don't have a sitcom. I don't have an HBO special yet. But so if there's a person, there's a guy or a gal who's coming into town, they want to try some new stuff, yeah, you make way for them. They're the star. But when they come in and they want to do a half an hour in front of you and your 45-minute set becomes a 25 or 30-minute set, I think that's Bush League, man.
I think it's all depending on the, like, because now the show is going to be longer, right?
Going to be longer.
Because you can't cut away the MC, can't cut away the feature.
Because they've already done their thing.
They've done their thing. And then the so-called star is going up to do, I think 15, 20 minutes is okay, I guess. The club wants to promote themselves, so having a big star go up.
True.
Like when Rob Haney used to say, hey, Chappelle comes in, man, all bets are off. You guys are all done. I mean, and that's just the way it is. And he'll go up after the headliner, which in the industry, it's taboo to tell jokes after the headliner's done. You're not supposed to do that. You know, when the MC goes up sometimes after, that's a no-no.
But I would rather
tell jokes after the headliner.
Okay,
that's a no-no.
But just strictly speaking, just for me, I would rather Attell did his bit after me. I don't want to have to follow Dave Attell.
Yeah,
you know,
it's insane. I mean, it's tough.
So there's but you bring up a good point. There are certain bits of comedy etiquette that should be followed, right? For example, MCs. This has been sort of a pet peeve of mine lately because you and I and a lot of people of our generation, and when we started in this, we were scrupulous. We were on point. We learned the feature and the headliner's credits, and we introduced them, you know, like they were the biggest stars in the universe. Now it's a different thing. I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe it's not being taught. I don't know. But
they don't ask. A lot of them don't ask. But it's not about being taught, because I don't believe that needs to be. Okay. It's here's a perfect example. Okay, I was down in Myrtle Beach. You did the same club.
Uh huh.
And again, I'm not.
Should we name the club?
No. It's Comedy Cabana. It's
a great club.
I'm not knocking these comics, but a lot of the. They have like an open mic night. Like let's say Thursday was a regular show, but then they put like two or three open micers up before the feature and then the headliner and all that. And I noticed, and again, not naming names, great comics. They had good stuff, but they did their 5-7 minutes and then they went out into the pool area where the pool is.
Yeah,
right. The pool tables, I mean.
Yeah.
They didn't watch the rest of the show. They didn't watch the feature. They didn't watch the headliner. And that to me is a no-no.
Yeah,
because
you
gotta
watch,
learn,
man.
You want to learn. Yes. Don't you want to learn?
Yeah. Don't you want to see what the pros are doing.
What they're doing, what they're talking about, how they're handling the crowd,
yeah.
how they're handling a bad joke that doesn't go good.
Yeah,
don't
all
you want to watch that? And I didn't see any. And this is what I'm getting at. I feel like a lot of the, and again, I'm not trying to knock the younger generation, but I feel like they just don't want to watch the older comics, not older, but seasoned, do their craft. They'd rather watch yes. like a video of Mark well, Norman. I mean, I'm just using
you know
that as
what?
An example.
That's a
like,
good point.
They would rather watch him on YouTube than to watch a live performance of a non-famous comedian.
Right.
You get more lessons out of that non-famous comedian in a live performance
you
than you do getting from a YouTube
that's
video.
That's a very good point, Sal. You so, do. Because you watch that... you know, that comedian who's very well respected and known within the industry and all the clubs know him or her and love what they bring to the table, but they don't have a sitcom. So the industry knows them, right?
Yeah.
But the comics, a lot of comics today, they see so everything is on YouTube and TikTok.
So they don't want to watch anything
and
like.
Instagram. No. And so they think they're learning from this. No, you've got to sit there, man, and you got to watch that person throw out a new joke and then struggle and you know, get the audience back after yeah. telling a couple of clunkers.
I watched all that. I watched.
I did too.
I mean, we talked about it. I emceed so many times.
5 years, Sal. That's all I life. Did for my first 5 years.
You know?
I worked for Funny Business for five solid years and did nothing but emceeing.
Yeah. And so did I. And you know, here's a perfect example. I remember, you know, I was married to my wife, Char, and, we used to go to Joey's a lot.
Great club.
Hang out at
that
Joey's
was my home club.
Okay, that was my home club too, or one of them, you know. And anyway, I was opening up for, you know, whoever. It was like, I used to open up for Nick DiPaolo there a lot. And,
yep.
and great comedians. I mean, I emceed for Bill Burr there before he was famous, before he was big time. Anyway, I remember one time where, you know, everybody used to go to the downstairs because it
yeah.
was the bar area. So I had done my set.
Kickers.
I had done my set. I was just hosting. So now my 10 minutes is done. So my wife is like, all right, I saw the other two comics, so I'm going to go downstairs.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I would be like, okay, I'll see you guys, you know, her and her friends. Right? And my friends too. They'd be like going downstairs. And I'd be like, okay, I'll be down there after the show. And they're like, well, what do you mean? You can come down for like an hour and 10 minutes because you don't have to close the show. And I'd be like, no, I want to watch the show.
I've got to watch this show, yes.
Really?
And
you,
yes.
you just saw him the last show. Yeah, but I want to watch
matter.
It again.
But it's a new audience. You're going to see
new
him
audience.
React.
And he might do new jokes. He
yes.
might do something different.
Yeah.
I was always like, I'll see you guys later. I'm watching the show.
I was the same way. And most of the people from when we were coming up were that way. And I'm not knocking
and not that
people
they're all
now.
Like that. I mean, they're
no,
not
they're
all,
not all like that.
They're not all like that.
I'm not knocking people. I'm saying there's been a shift in the way.
A little bit of a shift.
Yeah. People approach the work at a club, right? And I remember just being fascinated, by every headliner I saw
mm-hmm.
initially
too,
going,
man.
Okay, how did they do this? And how did they switch from this subject to that subject? And then you'd see a heckler and you'd see them shut that heckler down and go, oh, I need a line, you know, to do that. And so you develop that line, you develop that thing to combat a restless crowd, right? And so I don't know how they're learning those things
well,
now.
It,
if they're
it,
just
they'll get it. You know, some of them just, you know, let's face it, man. Everybody does comedy for different reasons. You know what I mean? Some people do comedy
yeah.
because their home life is depressing, so they want to get out of the house. I mean, seriously.
Good
I mean,
point.
I talked to somebody today. They just said that, you know, they were crazy with the kids and at home, and then it was a release for them. So I get that some people don't have time to sit around and watch other comedians. I understand that. But for most of us learning, you know, you know, if you've ever read Kevin Hart's book, you know, here's a perfect example. That guy, Chris Robinson, who is he's not a famous comedian, but he's mm-hmm. he's a comedy seller comedian.
Yeah.
He's been a comedy seller comedian for years.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, who's bigger than anybody on the planet, he used to drive.
Career-wise.
He used to drive Chris Robinson and a bunch of these other comics from Philadelphia to New York.
Huh.
every night.
Wow.
And he wasn't going up. He was told to just drive these pros and you watch them.
Now look at him.
Now he's right. He's better than all those guys.
He watched them.
He watched them for 3 years.
What a great story!
Monday
that
through Thursday, and then he would come back.
The student
to Philadelphia
has become
and
the teacher.
Work the local clubs himself, but he drove to. So how many of these young guys would do that? You know,
I don't know.
Would we have done it? Maybe I wouldn't have done that. I don't know. I might have not have done that. Drove with some.
You know
comic
what?
To watch him every night, and I had to drive. I had to pay for gas.
I'm gonna.
It's a great book, by the way, Kevin.
I'm gonna read that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna read that.
Book.
I want to relate one story here that sort of goes to that subject. I'm not gonna name the headliner, but this was happening when I was an MC, and this was 20 years ago, something like that. And this person was headlining at Joey's, my home club, right? So this was, everything was new to me. Everything was fascinating. Everything that came out of these people's mouths was like, you know, gold. You know, I took everything to heart. And I remember taking this particular headliner who, and we're still friends today, really good guy. He went on to be, he was in several movies. He'd done a lot of, he had his own television series for a while. So I was in charge of not only emceeing the shows, but driving him to and from his hotel.
So there you go. You know the feeling.
And the hotel back then was a Motel 6 on Ann Arbor Road, okay? So Joey's was trying to cut expenses. So this was the dead of winter. It was like February, okay?
Yeah.
Everything's frozen solid. So I drop him off at the Red Roof, and he's on the second floor. And I see him walking up these stairs, these wooden stairs, so gingerly, like he was injured or something. He was holding the rails, and he was taking one step at a time and going very, very slowly. And he told me, he goes, "Hey, look, just stay here until I get to the second floor." I said, "Not a problem." So I see him get to the second floor. He waves me off, and then I leave. And I said to him the next day, I said, "Hey, what was that all about?" He goes, "Look, man, I live in L.A. I've got 4 kids. And this is my job. I can't afford to fall and get injured because then I can't do this job."
Wow.
And man, that hit home for me like nothing else I'd ever heard. He said, "This is how I make my living now. You know, the movies dried up, the series dried up. I got to go from club to club. I can't fall down these stairs because my family goes hungry." I was like,
wow. Wow, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey. Just keep going to comedy clubs out there, you guys. Okay, you got the, and again, we're talking Detroit here. I know we're worldwide. We have listeners all over, but a lot of our listeners are in Michigan. So please go see a live comedy show, wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. Go to Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase here in Michigan. I know we've promoted this. We're not sucking up. We just love these clubs. One Night Stands, Mark Ridley's, Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. Those are the three majors. Go to your local pub that's doing a comedy night. Go to
an
art
Big Tommy's
gallery that's doing a comedy
when they open up.
Go to
Novi,
Big Tommy's when they
open up
if they open up. Go to the Holly Hotel if they open up. Go to your local pub that does an open mic. Go support live entertainment. That's what we're here for. We are the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio. I got Bob Phillips across from me, BobPhillips.com, SalD'Amelio.com, at Bob the Soup, at SallyDay08. We are just out there. We're going to be out there. We're going to be in your town. We're going to be in a steakhouse, or we're going to be at a comedy club. Keep supporting live comedy.
Good night, everybody.
You got anything else, buddy?
Oh, I already said good night, but let's backtrack. What I got? I'm going to be putting out a new video here in the next couple of days. It's a bit of mine called Spirit Airlines.
All right, you're and doing the animation?
It's an animated bit. Look for that.
Great.
I'm going to put that up.
I saw it.
It's really funny.
I told you a long time ago to put that out on the airwaves. You're finally going to do it.
I'm
going to
do that.
Very funny.
And the thing is, I love the joke, and I've been doing it for several years now. And when I say it's really funny, it's not just the joke. It's the way the animators put in these sight gags.
You did a great job.
They did a great job.
It is a funny joke, but it's really funny in animation.
It was made better by the animators.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Check that out. So go to BobPhillips.com for that, or Instagram, Facebook, and all that stuff.
Instagram.
You're going to put it out there. please keep listening to the Sal and Bob Show. We really appreciate it. We know you got many, many things you can be doing with your earphones every day. You have our voices on them.
Just don't do anything with those earphones like those twins in Amsterdam.
Jesus. Well, hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Sal and Bob Show. We will see you in August of 2021. 4 new episodes in August. We will see you guys, and please keep listening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.